I'm Dan Nicasa with the Honolulu Advertiser, and we're talking to Aaron Oya, Small Business Specialist with the U.S. Postal Service. Good afternoon, Aaron. Good
afternoon, Dan.
Aaron, tell me how you spell your name.
Aaron, A-A-R-O-N.
Oya.
Oya, O-Y-A.
And what kind of name is that?
Aaron, just like Elvis, you know, do you care kind of thing. Oya is Japanese.
Okay, and your parents are?
I'm actually adopted. There's a long story in and of itself. You ready for this?
Yeah,
sure. You don't
want
to ask that question. No, I'm adopted, but my parents are Japanese. I just happen to be half Japanese, half Italian.
Ah, okay. And how old are you?
I am 40. I'll be 41 this year.
40. When's your birthday?
November.
And your title is Small Business Specialist.
Small Business Specialist.
Now, how long have you had that job?
I've been in the position for about a little over 2 years. I've actually held the job for officially over a year.
And is that a new position to the Postal Service, new position to...
Actually, the position has existed for a while. In Honolulu, it's never been filled. About 2 years ago, we decided to try it out to see if there was a need for it, and now I'm permanent.
Yeah, can you give us a rough job description or an idea of...
You would think Small Business Specialist focuses on small businesses, but how I explain it to my customers is, affectionately, I help businesses do business with us without coming to us. I try to provide that ease of use factor. That's pretty much what I do. You would think I'm a salesperson, which I call myself, but I'm not. I don't find myself selling anything to anyone. I find myself more educating people about our products and services and really teaching them how to use us. And that's pretty much 99.9% of my day.
And how do you find them? Or do they find you? Or how do you go about...
That's a good question. Originally, the position started off with the carriers submitting leads, and I filled the position as that was my responsibility to follow up on leads submitted by carriers. I also do my own leads, and I also go out and a lot. You know this town, word of mouth. So people hear, people do. So I generate some business with people calling me, contacting me.
So, but a carrier might say, gee, I've noticed this person who brings a lot of packages to the postal...
What it is a carrier might look at... Their job is to look for someone using our competitors, straight up. It's a competitive business, so we're in the shipping industry. So if they find someone using our competitors, they'll ask that customer or that business if they're interested to see if the Postal Service can either meet their shipping needs or save them money or a combination of both. The carriers are not the experts, so what they do is refer the customer to me. I call them up and... My job is to match products and services to any given individual business.
Okay, well, we're going to get back to all those things that businesses can do that you can help them with.
Okay.
And the organization is U.S. Postal Service.
U.S. Postal Service.
And how long have you been an employee?
I actually started in 95, so I'm working on 11 years. I started as a letter carrier out in Waipahu. I worked my way up in 1998. I got promoted to supervisor, got shipped out to Mililani. I ran the carriers there, I ran the clerks in the morning, and I did a little stint. They did this awkward shift between Mililani and Waipahu, so I went back to Waipahu for a little bit. I ended up in Kailua running all three supervisor positions, from the morning distribution to the carriers and the afternoon, the finance positions with the sales associates, and I went back to Wahiawa under the postmaster there, who's now our MPU, Greg Woney, and I ran the finance over there.
Finance.
We call it finance, the afternoon shift, which is pretty much the retail operations, the sales associates at the window. We call it finance because that's the money operation, so to speak.
And why did you get hired as a carrier in the first place?
Well, the way anyone normally gets hired in the Postal Service is you take the test.
I mean, why did you want the job?
Honestly, back then I wanted a retirement job. You know, that's the thing about the Postal Service. We go there and that's my retirement job. And I actually wasn't going to get hired. My supervisor told me, Aaron, I was not going to hire you because I figured you'd get bored as a carrier. And she was right. Because a year and a half later, I moved up into management. I found it a little bit more challenging.
But we've been talking about from the top level of the Postal Service in Washington, mm-hmm. to levels throughout Honolulu. Mm-hmm. So many people start off as carriers.
If you look at that top level right now, here in our district, our district manager, Darryl, he started off as a letter carrier. Go all the way up to the Postmaster General, he started off as a letter carrier. Not saying that because I started off as a letter carrier, I'm going to go there, but I like the position that I'm in.
But just the point that there's all these opportunities.
There is a lot of opportunities.
See, I really had no idea.
And most people don't. You know, when I tell people I work for the Postal Service, of course they ask, well, what do you do? And they automatically assume that I'm a letter carrier. 10 years ago, they would have been right. I used to tell them I'm a supervisor, and that was okay. But when I tell them I'm a small business specialist,
right.
What do you do?
Exactly. Well, that's why we're talking to you. where were you born?
I was born and raised here.
Where?
Honolulu. Actually, born in Waipahu, raised in Honolulu.
And where did you go to high school?
I graduated from Kaimuki, 1983.
How'd you end up at Kaimuki?
I grew up in Honolulu. Lived on Kapi'olani, Wailai Avenue, in that area.
Oh, your family moved to Waipahu?
Waipahu, right. When I was young. Actually, about 4 years old, we moved into town.
Did you go to college?
I went to college after I came back from the Army. So you want to start with college first or Army first?
Sure. Well, just tell us the chronology.
Okay. 1983, after I graduated, joined the Army. You want to know my breakthrough job? That would be it. Spent 2 years active duty. Local boy in Germany. Absolutely hated it. 83, I got out in 85. I hated it in Germany. But you know what? The last 6 months over there, I appreciated the fact that I was in a foreign country. I'll probably never come back. Never say never, because in 94 and 95, I did go back with Army Reserve. But I got off of active duty in 85, went to KCC for 2.5 years, then transferred up to Johnson and Wales University in Providence, Rhode Island.
How do you spell that?
Johnson and Wales. J-O-H.
And Wales.
W-A-L-E-S. That's my claim to fame right there. Johnson Wales. In my alumni yearbook, Emeril Lagasse is listed, so. Because that's where he went.
Wham! What did you study?
Culinary arts.
I
learned how to cook, basically.
I mean, is that what kind of school it is?
Yeah, it focuses on culinary arts. There's also management courses, travel industry, hospitality industry.
Did you graduate?
I graduated with an associate's degree from there.
Associate's degree?
Mm-hmm.
Is that a AA?
They call it an AOS, Associate of Science.
And what
that's not
that?
An Associate of Arts, I don't know why. In 89.
So you studied culinary arts at KCC too?
Prior to, for about 2.5 years. That's the formidable college.
When we say KCC, we mean Kapi'olani Community College.
Kapi'olani Community College.
We did when somebody was saying KCC, and I wrote down, and it was Kauai Community College. Yeah.
Actually, dare I say, when I went to KCC, I went to the Pensacola campus, which is no longer existing.
Yeah, Pensacola campus. Wow. So you're a chef?
No.
Of course not.
Could I be? Absolutely. I just never pursued that. It's a very, very tough industry. I worked in the hotels in Waikiki, and I decided, fortunately or unfortunately, early on in my career, that if I was going to be happy cooking, I'd have to do it for myself. And I just found other opportunities after that.
How high did you get in the kitchen? I mean,
I never made it to any type of chef position. I honestly, after I graduated, this is pretty sad, I only stayed in the industry for 3 years. So what's the percentage now? 75% of people graduate from college and never follow their chosen career field.
What was the initial interest?
In cooking?
Yeah.
That goes back to the Army. This is really idiotic, but the mind of a 17-year-old coming out of high school. The Army recruiter said, I wanted to be a mechanic.
Okay.
And he said, there are no mechanic positions open. So I said, well, teach me something I don't know. Teach me how to cook. So I thought, well, go learn how to cook, come back, cook part-time, and then go to school as a mechanic. Of course, you know, that never happened. Came back, cooked part-time, and went to school to learn how to cook.
I thought you were going to say because the food was so bad that you...
Actually, Army recipes are fairly good. It's just... Well, we'll just leave it at that.
Okay, all right. Breakthrough job.
Breakthrough job, I'll consider the Army.
And what was your ranks? And
I actually left when I got out of active duty. I was an E-4. I was a specialist. I'm actually still in the Army Reserve, and I have been in since 1985.
And what is your rank now?
I'm actually an acting first sergeant in the 4960th. We're a multifunctional training brigade, so we're a bunch of instructors.
Multifunctional training brigade.
We're one of two of them.
I'm sorry, what are the numbers of the unit?
4960th.
Mm-hmm.
MFTB. So we fall under the 9th Regional Readiness Command here, which is the Major Reserve Command here in Hawaii.
So 49th of the 60th?
No, 4960, one number.
Oh, okay, okay, okay. And is that under...
The 9th RRC. Actually, it's sort of weird. I say that. We're you ask me all these questions that have stories to them.
That's fine.
We actually fall into the 104th Division out of Vancouver Barracks in Washington. But because we're geographically located here, our operational command is the 9th RRC.
RRC stands for what?
Regional Readiness Command.
Readiness Command. RRC.
RRC.
And what kind of things do you teach?
We're actually an MOS school. Our counterpart on the National Guard side is the 298.
Do me a favor, and everybody, don't use any more acronyms.
Okay.
I know the military.
We know National Guard, right? Our counterpart.
What's MOS?
Military Occupational Specialty.
Okay. All right.
So we teach people new jobs. We actually teach food service. We teach administrative specialists and. And we actually have an MP course, an engineer course. So we teach people who are either cross-leveling or basically their jobs. Our counterpart school on the National Guard side in Waimanalo, the 298, their focus is on military education. So they focus on core leadership courses, where we focus on job courses.
You focus on an army that's going to occupy an area and kind of all those positions that need to be?
Actually, we focus on, let's say you need to be trained as a cook. Uh-huh. So we teach you how to cook. Now you can go out and do your job.
So why is the Army? Is it the reserves that your breakthrough job, or the Army in general?
The Army in general, because I spent 2 years active duty,
right.
And I really learned a lot. I mean, you talk about taking a 17-year-old kid out of high school from Hawaii and then throwing him into an environment that is completely foreign, both on the East Coast where I went to basic training at AIT, and then right into Germany in a foreign country. January 1st, 1984, not speaking a language, it's cold, it's snowing, and I've never been in snow before. It was
whereabouts in Germany?
This place called, of all places, Worms. You spell it Worms, right? But in Germany you pronounce it Worms. It's a small little town that the base is now closed, and a lot of bases are closed there, but it was neat, you know, once everything started going.
But why was that your breakthrough job? What did you learn about organizations or leadership or management or just...
You know, for anybody that's been in the military, they would understand this. You take a 17-year-old kid and you throw him into this environment of structure and leadership and do as I say, not as I do. No. Do as I say, do it this way. The military is actually a very efficient organization, or it can be or should be at times. You see that at the lower level, and you appreciate it once you're gone. You know, once you're out of the military organization, you don't really show an appreciation while you're in there.
Of the structure.
Of the structure. And I used to joke about this. I said, the United States Army is the biggest communist organization that supports democracy, because if you look at it, it's an upside down pyramid. There's one guy on the top and everybody below, and that guy drives what everything does. But it's that structure and organization that is necessary to provide for forward movement there. So, but I learned a lot. It groomed me. It taught me how to do, you know, basic life challenges. You know, at 18 years of age, and by the time I was 19, I was considered a veteran. Mm-hmm. I had already gone through living on my own, and just being self-sufficient, which is not an opportunity that I think most people get to do. You know, a lot of people go to college, but they live with friends and they have fun and this
right.
and that. So by the time I finished my active duty career, when I went to college, I was really able to focus on studies. And it made it actually really easy.
And now you work for another large federal...
I work for another large, which is very strange. I mean, if you look at my career...
Are there similarities? Is what I was going to ask you? Or
structure-wise, actually, yeah. You know, in any type of organization, there is, in the military, we have this term called chain of command. And obviously it's prevalent here in the Postal Service. There is a chain of command. There are supervisors, managers, this and that. And we have a hierarchy that goes all the way to Washington, D.C. So the organization is not entirely foreign, but I think you'll find that in any given business anyway, whether it be private or public sector.
But are there things you learned in the military, kind of navigating through that environment, that are helping you here, that are...
I've been fortunate. My military career has gone up. As I've gone up in rank in my military career, my civilian career has actually followed suit. So I've kind of gone like this. So mm-hmm. both actually play off each other. I'm going to use this word very reluctantly. The higher up you go in the military ranks, well, maybe not in this case, the higher up you go in the military ranks, it gets very political. And you see that here in this organization as well. It gets political.
Sure. So
so it helps, you know, the education from both sides. Yeah, what I'm talking about, education, life education from both sides definitely help, and they play off each other.
So your rank right now in the reserves is acting first sergeant.
Acting first sergeant, but I'm a master sergeant, so E8.
That's three up and three down?
Three up, three down. The first sergeant has a diamond in the middle. I don't wear a diamond, though. I might retire before I get there.
Okay, little known fact, and this should be something that maybe even Duke doesn't know, or some of your friends would go, really?
I think at this point in time, most of my friends know what I do, but the little known fact is I build ukulele.
Really?
I guess a more little known fact, if you could call it that, is I am the inlay artist for Ko'aloha Ukulele. So their Paul Okami, who's their custom shop builder, a lot of the inlays that he does on his higher end instrument actually comes across my desk, and him and I work on it together.
Really? Mm-hmm. Where did you learn that skill?
I taught myself.
Wow.
You mean the inlay?
Yeah.
The inlay I taught myself. The ukulele I learned from this guy, Michael Wendell, up in Mauna. He actually teaches classes to this day. So I took his class was given to me as a gift a couple years ago, three, 4 years ago, give or take.
And how do you spell his name?
Mike, M-I-K-E. Uyeno. U-Y-E-N-O.
E-N-O. Yeah.
Uyeno.
He teaches classes.
He's retired from the city, and he does it in his garage. He has classes on Saturdays, and
wow.
He has a lot of retired people that go to his classes, that take multiple classes. There's one guy that went back like 10 times, I think.
So what's the best kind of wood and inlay you like to work with?
Best kind of, that's a hard question. Paul and I talk about that all the time, about best kind of wood, so that's a long story.
Well, what do you prefer, though?
Most of my clients come to me for something you would think core, but they come to me for other than core. Just because of the price and what I'm doing with them and the sound and the playability. It's basically the sound. They're looking for something that they can't really pull off the rack.
So you're building these to sell. It's not just for your own.
Actually, yeah, I build it to sell.
Wow. Is there a brand?
Yeah. It's Aaron Taylor Custom Ukulele. And the Taylor comes from my oldest son.
Oh, nice. Okay, mentor. And this could be at any point in your life. Somebody just gave you some foundational advice or lessons.
I'm going to do it two ways. Life mentor would definitely be my dad.
What's his name?
Takeo, T-A-K-E-O.
Is he still with us?
No, he's not.
Takeo Oya.
Mm-hmm. My dad taught me the lesson of walking quietly, but make sure you never have to carry a big stick.
Yeah, nice.
Sometimes I don't listen, but
which part?
So it's about walking quietly and all of the above. So it's still a continuing life lesson, even though he's not here professionally.
But what did he mean by that? I mean, I sort of
he didn't say it literally, but it was imparted on me. My dad is a typical local Japanese guy. He never said much, but he taught you a lot without saying much. And I think a lot of us that grew up here was under that type of parental guidance. But
I mean, what did he mean by the part, make sure you don't have to carry a big stick?
You know, you walk quietly, you do what you have to do, you do your job, you work hard, so that, and you never put yourself in a situation where you have to, and this is a bad word, where you have to defend yourself, where you have to show up and open your mouth and flex your muscles and say, I'm better than you are. That's how he lived his life, and he lived it clean, and he slept well at night. And when I try to follow that, I sleep well at night, and I find myself, when I don't, you know,
tossing and turning.
Not really, but professionally, you know, here in the, you know, obviously in the military, I've had a lot of good leaders, but here in the Postal Service, professionally, I'm not going to mention any names, but I've had a number, because they know who they are. I've had I want to say a number, but that's lying. There have been a handful of supervisors, station managers, and postmasters, one of them being the EMPU, who have actually, some of it was tough love, but have helped me and guided me and actually shown me really, really good examples of what it's like to be a good leader. So that, and they've...
Any particular kind of not mottos, but you know, lessons like that, that you learned that you can.
Well, I'll give you one example.
One of your mentors.
One in particular, and I keep this with me to this day. When I was applying to become a supervisor, we have this extensive application process. I mean, it's insane. He spent hours editing my stuff, and one of the things he said is, "I'll get you to the interview. After that, you're on your own." I carried, you know, the amount of energy that he spent on me helping me. He didn't have to, but he did. The amount of energy that he spent helping me, I find myself trying to duplicate that to this day. So when I have people that are in need, mm-hmm. that ask me for help, I'm all about giving support wherever I possibly can. Because that only makes for a better organization. So he taught me how to bleed blue, basically.
Mm-hmm. Postal blue?
Postal blue, absolutely.
Major challenge, and usually we like to say any aspect of, but I guess for your job in the Postal
Service. My job in the Postal Service?
Yeah.
Good question. Major challenge is perception. There's a lot of public perception, and perception may be a bad word. There's a lot of people that really don't know the products and services that the Postal Service has. There's a lot of assumptions. I mean, I'll go and ask people this. Well, when you think of UPS, what do you think of? You think of Second Air. When you think of FedEx, their product is Priority Overnight. But when you think of the Postal Service, they think of a 39-cent letter or maybe Priority Mail. But there's so much that we have.
Not long lines?
Not long lines. Not the DMV or anything. But when you think about products and services, you know, our actual competitive product is like Express Mail. And we don't entirely do a good job of posing ourselves as a competitor against our true competitors, mm-hmm. who, in a way, are also our partners. But that's another story for another
time.
Getting people to understand that we're not just a letter service.
Right.
You know, we're so much more. We can be your business partner, and that's what my position is,
right.
to facilitate business partnerships with small businesses to help you grow revenue and help you grow your business so we can grow ours.
When you get a referral or you develop a lead or you make that contact, mm-hmm. with a small business or any business, do you find that they're usually surprised at all the...
You know, I get this so much. The first thing I normally have to do, and this happens more often than not, I have to explain, like I did to you, what is it that a small business specialist does.
Yeah.
So when I tell, the generic statement was, again, I'm going to help you do business with us without coming to us. And 90% of the businesses that I talk to can relate to that. Because the perception is the Postal Service is hard to use, and which may have been true in the past.
Right.
But we've done so many things recently. We're not like what we used to be. You know, we used to be the quote-unquote federal organization that did our thing. Well, now we're focusing on making it really, really easy to use. In my position, it's really, really unique because I get to help businesses grow their business because I'm in a position where I identify. If you can grow your business, obviously through a shipping program, we're inevitably going to get revenue and grow ours the same. So my friend told me this. He said, you know, you're a consultant. And you should be. You're not a salesperson. You're a consultant because you teach people how to do things other than just shipping.
Well, and especially if you're a small business. I mean, small meaning revenue, but also usually that's mom and pop and a couple of kids or a couple of employees and sending somebody to offer the bundle of packages, mm-hmm. and it's costly. I mean, costly every time. And
mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that's where I come in. I help them do business with us because a lot of people, even though there's the Angie commercials on TV, they don't correlate the fact that carriers are there to pick up as well. You know, I'll be honest with you. When I was trained as a carrier, I'm a little embarrassed to say this, but my trainer told me we are a delivery service. We're not a pickup service. This is 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? I'm telling you something different now. We are not just a delivery service anymore. We are also a pickup service. 50-50 or 100%.
So I'll let you do the commercial here. So what are the things that, the real common things that people, businesses in particular, can take advantage of that they don't know? Like things like the postal carrier will come and actually pick up their postals and postage, their parcels.
How about if I answer it this way? Just because I think it's an interesting, I always ask my customers this. And this is my own little internal unofficial survey. Well, I ask customers, well, why do you do business with FedEx and UPS? And their number one answer to me is because they track. They track their parcels. The number two answer for me is because they all pick it up. And those two answers can flop back and forth on any given day. When I tell them, well, we do both, I'm amazed that they don't know that the carriers pick up. The other thing is they correlate tracking to priority mail and delivery confirmation, which is not actual tracking. They don't correlate tracking to express mail, which is the competitive product between the two. So we have exactly what FedEx and UPS have, sometimes better, sometimes more expensive, but oftentimes I'll find out if we can save you money. Otherwise, why change, right? And that's my job. But when I explain that to them, then they say, okay, you guys are really easy to use. So we do have carrier pickup. We do have package pickup services. We do have online services. People can, you know, everybody thinks you got to come to the post office.
Well, that's what I'm saying. The carrier will bring the boxes.
Mm-hmm. They'll pick, obviously we deliver, but we'll also pick up what you have going out.
So I mean, you'll bring the boxes to be filled.
Priority boxes.
Oh, you're talking about our shipping supply.
Yeah.
Well, we do that also.
And do they have to pay for those?
No.
I keep forgetting that.
See, now...
Maybe you could take the opportunity to be a little bit more specific mm-hmm. about the types of everything from in-store shipping, click and ship, net post.
Yeah, that's where I was
going. Is that where you're going with this
one? That's where I was going.
Okay. I'm trying to go through this
one. No. We're all over the place.
We are all over the place. Okay. Well, I'll tell you what I do in my position. I introduce people, really, to USPS.com. And USPS.com, dare I say this, is not entirely easy to navigate, but once you learn how to do it and you know where to go, it is a wealth of information there. You can go.
There's a ton of information on that website.
There is a ton of information on the website. If you go to our website, there's a red bar right on the top. And the number one reason people come there is to check their zip codes. The next reason people come there is to calculate postage. But there's a link on there that says print shipping labels. So you can go onto our website and print shipping labels for Express Mail and Priority Mail. You get free delivery confirmation. You can print global labels now. And all of these labels, if you print it online, carrier can come and pick it up. So now you can get global Express Mail, global Priority Mail, global Air Parcel Post with a combined customs and delivery form. And you don't have to come to the post office anymore. At one point in time, for international packages, because of the customs thing, you had to come to the post office. Mm. No longer true. Here's a kicker. You print a global Express Mail label online, 5% discount. Why would you even come to the post office?
Now, the only thing you would have to... You can get postage online, mm-hmm. but except for the... I'm sorry, I always forget the name of the packages and the envelopes.
Flat rate.
You have to sort of guesstimate what the postage will be, right, for a package?
No, absolutely
unless
not.
Unless you weigh it.
Now, understand the businesses that I deal with, when I tell them, look, buy a scale. They don't have a problem with that, because if buying a scale means they don't have to drive down to the post office every day and stand in line, that scale is going to pay for itself in a week, maybe a day, maybe two weeks, whatever, but it's going to pay for itself. It's infrastructure that the businesses invest in their business. So I have no problem with telling your business, buy a scale. If you're in any type of shipping, you're going to buy a scale and you're going to buy a tape measure.
Right.
Otherwise, how are you going to know what to tell your customers? But you put in the weight. And it calculates the postage for you automatically.
But you also make arrangements for some businesses to deliver to the back of the post office.
We do that also.
And why would they do that? Why would they do that rather than have the carrier pick them up?
When the carrier comes and picks up, you know, we try to deliver mail to our businesses early in the day. Now, there are some routes that have all business routes. So somebody has to be at the beginning, somebody has to be at the end. But if the carrier gets there early, that's good. You got your incoming mail. But they may be too early to pick up the outgoing parcels.
I see.
So, yeah, I know you had mentioned there are some post offices. I think at this point in time, I can say every large post office on the island has what they call a click and ship drop off point. So if they bring it into the post office and they have postage paid with online postage or PC postage, they don't have to stand in line. They can just come in, drop off.
And how do they do that? How do they make arrangements to get back in that?
Now, there are some offices like, in Waialae-Kahala, you interviewed Jody on that one. There are some offices where you can contact the local station manager or postmaster. They would prefer you to come in the back, depending on your volume. You know, the back is actually a secured area, so you would set that up with the individual manager or postmaster at that unit.
Okay. Hobbies.
Ukulele.
I am making both.
Actually, what's strange is I take the Leo Fender... focus on building ukulele. Leo Fender never learned how to play.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I understand Stradivarius never did either, so. But I build.
You play ukulele?
I don't play. Well, I can play. I can strum. I sing with my kids and stuff. But I'm no I know anybody, actually. Yeah. I can play three. Everybody knows.
Is that your little known fact that you don't play?
My little known fact. I build ukulele, but I don't play.
Interesting.
Ukulele, martial arts. I actually train with my kids twice a week. I've gotten back into that. I've gotten away from, as you get older, though, bodybuilding and stuff doesn't.
Yeah.
You set yourself up for injury. So I'm actually liking it. So, little hobbies, definitely.
What kind of martial arts?
We train in Kenpo karate. Kind of interesting. I was looking for a martial art for my kids that would balance all sorts of. If you use the term mixed martial arts, that's probably the definition right there.
Okay. Your favorite subject, books recently read.
Funny that you say that. Books recently read actually pertain to ukulele. One of them is Left Brain Luthery by David Hurd. Very difficult read.
Luthery?
Yes.
Yep. By who? David Hurd?
David Hurd. Dr. David Hurd.
H-E-A-R-D?
H-U-R-D.
Okay.
Another book I read recently, in fact, the one I'm in right now, is and this one I always go back to, it's called The Art of Inlay by Larry Robinson. And the newest book I picked up, I guess you could call it an educational book, is, what is it called? The authors are Daniel Hole and Herb Walter Jr. Then I just bought it. Actually, I didn't buy it. It was given to me, so you can go look up the title on that.
Okay.
This is the most recent book that I think Daniel Hole's website has it.
So how many businesses do you, in the 2 years that you've had this job, how many businesses do you think you've contacted, and how many more are there to?
Honestly, not very many. On this island, probably a couple hundred, 200, 300 businesses. And any given phone call can take a long time.
Right.
It never takes 5 minutes. I spend time with businesses on the phone anywhere from 10 minutes. I spent an hour on the phone with a certain business. Just you would think I'm talking to them about online services. A lot of times I'm consulting with them, helping them, giving them ideas how to increase their business. So a little unusual position. In fact, I forgot his name because we just had one conversation. You know, he said you're bad with names. We just had one conversation. It was with the art gallery. And the last thing he told me was, Aaron, you must really love your job. Is this what you do all day long, help businesses make money? I said, yeah, that's what I do all day long. I help businesses make money.
Well, like how? I mean, just in the being more efficient in their shipping? Or
you had some examples.
Well, let me give you a perfect example. And you did an article on Rainbow Crack Seed. The in-store shipping program is one that causes is a solution and a problem for a lot of businesses when we introduce it to them, because it allows small businesses to co-brand with the United States Postal Service. We give them this little sign that has our logo on it, and all it says is ask this store about shipping your purchases with us. It allows them to tap into a shipping market. Now the customer comes in, you guys can ship crack seed. Okay, I'll buy this for myself. Let me buy this also, and you can ship it for me. So the objective is to increase the store's revenue through a shipping program. Here out, and Rainbow Crack Seed was mad at me 6 months later because she goes, look what she did, and now she has to order all these things to create these baskets for her customers. But that doesn't, the Crack Seed store is a good example because that was our first one. I've done it with jewelers as well. We're starting with some other craft builders, some stores in Ala Moana. Ward Center has a slew of them. So.
And if you're a business that does some business with tourists.
If you're doing business with tourists, I mean,
they go back home, somebody fell in love with the
bowl,
whatever, and they remember, they shipped it.
Here's what's neat about the in-store
shipping. So they go online then, right?
Here's what's neat about the in-store shipping program. It starts off with the point of sales, meaning customer comes in and buys something. And we're talking about tourists. If they're a tourist, what do they have to do? They have to pack it up in their suitcases. They only have a limited amount of space. Well, if they can ship it back, they tend to buy more because they're not concerned about their space in the suitcase. So they go ahead and ship it back. Now, when that's the beginning of it. When they go back, they remember that this store shipped it for them. They're going to now look for their website and continue ordering. See, traditionally, you get a tourist come here, buy something from your store, retail transaction, gone. You never see them again. In-store shipping can facilitate customer loyalty, not only in increasing your point-of-sale sales right then and there, but also having them continually come back to you once they're gone. So, out-of-the-box thinking, so to speak, you're using shipping to generate revenue in an area that you never had. It doesn't cost you anything. You never hired anyone else.
Right.
But just to get away from distro shipping a little bit, we'll talk about some of the other ways that you kind of educated, and you use the word educated or trained companies to kind of set themselves up, set up processes at their companies to kind of help them run their businesses more efficiently. You know, that's sort of almost just indirectly kind of support Postal Service goals.
Right. I'll use an example, Manny McConnell and Trade West out in Kapalama. They found it easier to use UPS at one point in time, but they knew it was cheaper to use us. And they have everything, they have all the infrastructure to use the Postal Service. So what we did was I went down there with the Kapalama station manager, and we actually trained their shipping personnel on how to apply customs forms, which they had to do to all their packages anyway, how to apply the postage, and we set up a carry pickup. So now they no longer leave their office, they stay there, they focus on their business, all their employees are on property. And like Duke said, we went there to train them. We actually had a training class with them. So when I say I educate people, I help them use us so we can generate more revenue from them, from that customer. At the same time, helping them save money.
So tell us about your trip to Vegas and why you were there from the
Postal Service. My trip to Vegas.
How much you won?
we'll leave. Well, that's personal. We'll leave that there, like I did, right? I came back from Vegas. It was last month. There was eBay Live from June 11th through the 16th. I was there. The convention itself was the 12th. What is it? 13th, 14th, and 15th. It's an annual convention.
For pictures, by the way.
I do have my pictures in my camera. I got to give that to you, right?
I love that commercial with the cell phone. Have you seen that one?
Which one?
There's a bunch of ladies sitting around the pool, and they're like, "Why are you playing that? It's video. It does this." And yes. Next thing you know, she's swimming, and the phone ends up in the pool.
What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. eBay has their convention every. I think this is the fourth year. This is the first year I got to attend. Unfortunately, I was in Las Vegas. I was selected, I had to apply for it, so headquarters selected me based on, you would like to think, based on my knowledge or based on my need to learn. I was told 95% of the staff for the Postal Service was selected based on their knowledge of the shipping solution that the Postal Service has with eBay. 5% was selected on their need to learn more about it.
You went to staff a booth.
We went to staff a booth, exactly. I was selected for both reasons, because of my knowledge and because I wanted to learn more. Short, there's what they call a solution center. So an area of all vendors that support eBay and transacting business on eBay. Except for the eBay booths themselves, the Postal Service, we were the title sponsor. We had the largest booth there. Within the booth, there were 6 individual kiosks that specialized in certain areas that would assist. Most of them were sellers. Most of the people that attended, 15,000 of our closest friends, were sellers. So eBay wants to help these sellers sell better. And obviously we're there to help them ship better.
So what would be some of the 6 different kiosks?
One kiosk focused on USPS.com. One focused on click and ship, which,
individual
postal service programs.
Oh.
One of them focused on international shipping. And I worked that kiosk a lot. International shipping. There's another one on shipping supplies. In fact, we just launched, while we were up there, the co-branded Priority Mail shoebox, which is brand new. And looks like we're coming out with what looks like to be a golf club box, which is a brand new box, you know, designed specifically for golf clubs. There was another one on web tools. And I that's what I was there to learn about, USPS web tools, which I incorporated with the guy we shipped to, and that's another story. And there was carrier pickup. So all these little different operations within the Postal Service to help facilitate business.
Right.
Now, I remember going up there and customers coming up to me and, "Can I help you, sir?" And he's like, "Oh, no, I'm all set." It was, "Yeah, I go down to the post office every day." I said, "Then you're not all set."
Stop, stop, stop.
Stop right there. Come and see me. So I would actually teach these people, look, you do not have to go to the post office. eBay is a completely different entity. It is so much easier on eBay to use the eBay shipping solution. And that's where I have knowledge, and that's what I bring to the table. I actually teach classes on it, but I'm sure you're going to ask me about that.
I was going to ask you this. When you're done with Vegas, I want to ask you about your classes.
But let me talk about international. International booth was really, really busy, because a lot of sellers don't know how to sell internationally.
Yeah.
And because of our shipping solution now online, it is so easy. And, you know, you think about it. I tell these people, if you don't sell internationally, you pretty much wiped out the reason why you started an internet business. Why limit yourself just to the United States? So it was good. It was very...
You mean like navigating through customs and that sort of thing?
No, just... Because the perception is, and I think...
I mean, what were some of their issues?
Their issues was they didn't know how to price it. So I gave them some solutions, how to use shipping calculators. They didn't know how to print out postage. That was a big issue. And they didn't know that the carriers could pick it up. So remember I said, what is one of my major challenges? Mm-hmm. That's it right there. And for these, the eBay sellers are actually the experts because everything is there on the website to show them how to print labels and to show them how to get carrier pickup.
But that's shipping. You're talking about pricing and other issues that are... that they should know as a business.
Well, I'll get into that when we talk about eBay. You want me to talk about eBay classes now?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, well, let's run that into eBay classes.
So you teach various clients of classes. Maybe you can talk where you offer them.
You're going to get me to teach all kinds of classes by the end of this interview then. One of the classes that I do teach, and I've been doing it once a month about for the past 6 months. I think I've done about seven classes, give or take. And we have it here at our facility, and they're free. Put on by the United States Postal Service, myself. I bring in some guest speakers every now and then. I'm trying to wean myself off them just to make it. Because it's easy for me to put on a class. And I've got it narrowed down. And it's a 2.5-hour class. It's very intense. Bring your pen and don't bring your paper because I give you a handout. But you're going to go through 2.5 hours and either I'm going to confuse you in the first 5 minutes or I'm going to give you so much information to be dangerous by the time you finish.
And this is the eBay class.
This is the eBay class. Yeah. And we go everything from start to finish. The objective is really to get the buyers to become sellers. Otherwise, what's in it for the Postal Service? I want your business. And I'm going to show you how to get it through eBay. Of course, there are people that are there to learn how to buy, which is also good. You know, you got to learn how to buy, really, mm-hmm. before you learn how to sell. So I teach them resources, where to go, and I give them information online. We sometimes, because I'm a marketing guy, I get into the nitty-gritty on how to present yourself as a business, because that's what you're doing. So when you're starting an eBay business, I tell them, make no mistake about it, you are starting a shipping business. Buy a scale and buy a tape measure and understand your shipping options, and that's what we're here for. So I tell them, or I teach them where to go to understand not just domestic shipping, but international shipping. And a lot of that is based off of our website. So a lot of that is covered in class.
So how do people know how to price something that they sell in the United States?
As far as foreign markets? From the shipping standpoint?
Right, I'm fixated on that because you mentioned that.
Okay.
Because I wouldn't know.
A real easy way to do it, and some people, if you're only selling one or two items, and this is what I've done just because it's really easy. I put a little blurb in the description. For international bidders, email me. So I actually had a person from Italy and a person from France email me in French. I said, okay, I could kind of figure out certain things. So I guess
you think it's a female meaning. Yeah. Right.
So I guessed he was asking me how much the shipping would be to France. So I responded back, and on eBay you actually have the option of listing that question on your listing. So just in case anybody else from France wants to know, all of a sudden this guy from Italy emails me, how much to Italy? So I post that one too, and I go and research how much that item would be to that country, and I put the price. I email them back and I post it on my listing. That's a real...
But you research it on USPS?
On USPS.com.
Okay.
Off of Calculate Postage. That's the real easy way to do it. Other ways to do it is you can actually put on a shipping calculator. You can put on a domestic shipping calculator through eBay and an international shipping calculator. I'm a little cheapy, so I didn't want to pay for it, but I understand it's free now. Doesn't matter, right?
Okay.
So there are ways to do that. So, yeah, and then I go and show them how to actually print off the label, because I do not want anybody in my class to come to the post office. I want you to stay at home if that's where you're doing your business, and we'll come to you and pick it up.
How long are the classes?
2.5 hours. Normally about 2 hours, and there's about...
One class, one shot.
One shot, 2.5 hours.
No.
Okay. All right.
Any other classes we should know?
You know, there was one class that we had. We've sort of, I don't want to say lost focus. We've gone away from from conducting these classes just because we're focused on other things right now. However, if there was a need, we'd definitely consider bringing them back up again. It's an online shipping class. We would bring people here to our facility and classes of no more than 10. We have a computer training facility. We bring them online. And we hold their hand and have them set up an account, show them how to...
On USPS.com.
On USPS.com, how to print off a shipping label, Priority Mail, Express Mail, whatever have you, international shipping labels. And that lasts about an hour and a half.
So your eBay class will cover that, but...
No, not necessarily, because in the eBay class, I do not touch Click and Ship.
Oh.
Because eBay has a different shipping solution through PayPal.
Oh, I see.
Well, I'll explain the difference in a little bit. Let me talk about our online shipping class with Click and Ship. Click and Ship is our PC postage website off of USPS.com that allows you to print off postage, package services online. We actually go through an hour and a half, and we actually have the customer print out a sample label. There's actually a half hour after that we leave as optional, so we can tell everybody, okay, class is over. And this last half hour is for NetPost mailing online. Nobody's left. Everybody has stayed for NetPost mailing online, and we've gained a number of customers that learned how to do mailing online. So they don't have to get permit imprints. We showed them how to get production costs, how to do cost analysis, how to get, and it's an automatic thing, you get postage discounts.
What is this concept?
NetPost mailing online.
Okay, this is a new one for me.
You talked about it a little bit, I think, the last time. NetPost is an opportunity for individuals or businesses to go online, and actually they can actually upload a direct mail piece, a flyer,
right. Bulk mail.
Yes, exactly, and they can send it to a mailing list, that's uploaded an Excel mailing list of customers.
Right.
He had a recent client, an organization actually attended his Click and Ship class, Hawaii Bicycling League, and
wanted
a way to communicate to their members about an upcoming meeting or upcoming bicycle race.
Sorry, I know they don't like to call it bulk mail, but that's how they...
Well, you know, in a way it is. It's a sophisticated and real user-friendly way to get mailing done, you know, that you don't have to Xerox a whole bunch of copies, stuff envelopes.
But it's not necessarily businesses. It could be groups, church groups,
exactly.
Nonprofits.
So when you say small business specialists, it can be a misnomer sometimes, because that's the hard bit. Bicycling League is a nonprofit, you know, so nonprofits...
Right.
People can use it to send their wedding invitations out, obviously, too, and things, all kinds of things like that. You can do anything, you know, as far as direct mailing solutions through NetPost. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to share one with you that is totally opposite of small business. I was in Washington D.C. on a Tuesday going through a NetPost mailing class.
Say that again about how you would do a wedding invitation.
How you do a wedding invitation?
Yeah.
That you would do that online. Because you can do postcards, you can do greeting cards, and you can customize the card to yourself.
Right, but most women buy the big folder full of everything, right?
Right.
So how would they use it to do address labels and postage? And
well, say, I know Duke was explaining, you upload an Excel, saved as a CSV file, and same thing. The thing that you're not doing is you're not stuffing it. You know, and we're going to stuff it. The one thing you're not going to be able to do is obviously handwrite the address, but...
You're going to stuff the mailer?
Let me use this example and tell you where you can go with this one. I was in Washington, D.C. on a Tuesday, and we were learning how to use NetPost. And I thought, well, I'm going to create a gift card, because we can do gift cards also for my wife. So dare I say I ordered a Starbucks gift card sitting at my computer in Washington, and I ordered a $50 gift card online, said, happy belated birthday. I got her a birthday present on time, but this was after her birthday, like a couple days later. And... put in my credit card, paid for it. Costed me $54. You know, $50 for the gift card, $4 for the production of the custom card. And I could have uploaded my own image, but I just used one of their stock images. I knew they're going to produce it the next day and get it in the mail the next day. So they did. They produced it on a Wednesday, got it in the mail on a Wednesday. I actually selected a stamp on this gift card. They did it in San Francisco, got it in the mail in San Francisco, first class mail. I sent it to her work. So... at work on Friday, before she left, she checked the mail. There's her gift card at work.
We're really talking about two different things that are related. One is that you can create a gift card. There are standard pictures for holidays, birthdays, Christmases, you know, whatever like that, and standard pictures of, you know, a smiling kid, you know, a dozen roses and stuff like that. And you can customize it and have a message imprinted in there to my wife from the husband. And you can include a gift card. There's a list of stores, retail or stores you can choose to have a gift card inserted into that, sent to the person. That's one aspect of NetPost. What we were talking about a little bit earlier, though, that something that businesses would use, because this is more something that probably individuals would use.
Right,
cards, right. although businesses could send out gift cards to other clients to say thank you too. But really, the direct mailing aspect of it is that you would upload an artwork, camera-ready artwork, basically. Like, so just like if you were going to go to Kinko's or something, take your artwork to get it reproduced.
Right.
Instead, you upload it through your computer, and there's a vendor on the other side who takes your artwork and would actually reproduce it in the quantity you desire, and you upload your mailing list instead of taking a CD to Kinko's with your mailing list and telling them, I want labels printed out with all of the names on the mailing list, and later on I'm going to pull off the labels and then stick them on the envelopes that I'm going to buy from you, and then I'm going to stuff the thing you printed out for me in that envelope. Instead of doing all of that, the vendor online does all of that. You give them the mailing list, and they won't produce labels. They'll print right on top of your piece, right on top of the envelope that you choose, the list, the envelope, the address that it's going to be mailed to, and then it'll be mailed from them. And so what your total cost will include the cost of postage too. As Aaron says, you qualify for bulk mail discounts too, special pre-sorted mail discounts by doing it this way.
Without the permitted print fees.
Yeah. So, well, normally to get bulk mail discounts, you have to pay an annual fee, plus you have to have enough money in your sort of bank to cover that mailing. And this way, you basically send out small pieces at a time. So it's really a nice way for businesses to market themselves, for organizations to communicate. I kind of actually know about it because I do a newsletter for a postal related thing every other month. And so small, so like maybe 150 people on the mailing list. And so I just create it as a PageMaker file, save it as a PDF, upload it as a PDF, Excel file, save it online. Then it gets mailed out directly from the vendor that is connected.
Now, how do you get a quote on what it would?
There's actually a cost estimator.
Yes, it'll tell you that.
And it's kind of neat because you can actually call them. They'll walk you through the first time. It's actually one of our vendors, just like Indeed.com or Stamps.com is a PC postage vendor, they're one of our vendors. Postie Digital is one of the more popular ones. But you can call them, they'll walk you through it. If you have any problems or questions or concerns, they're there. Now, once you get through the process, like for Duke, he sends out to the same people every other month. His address list is saved in there on their site, so you don't eat up memory on your computer. That's really not an issue anymore, but he can go back to old images if he wanted to.
Yeah. You know, you can just update one small little part. If you're going to do, if you're doing a sales piece, a marketing piece, or something, and it was basically the same thing except for maybe slightly changed a little bit here and there, you can save that project on there. So it's very user friendly, pretty simple to use, I'd say, and just a nice another tool that I think is out there that people don't know about, that we would love for people to kind of become more aware of. Like I said, Aaron, I'm the only guy I know who uses that thing.
Most businesses, really, in this day and age, they have the capability of designing their own mail piece. They really do.
Sure.
In fact, they do. They design it. They bring it to a copier. They go and have it copied and run off all these copies. Then they go and stuff the envelope themselves. Then they go and put the postage on themselves. Well,
that's really time-consuming. Yes.
You already got the image. You already got the mailing list.
Right.
You're already going to pay for it. Let somebody else do it and get a postage discount.
And get the postage discount, which is, you know, for 150 pieces, and postage discount is, you know, a couple of dollars. But if you're sending out thousands of pieces and doing that on a regular basis, that adds up.
Last time I checked, gas was what? $3 something a gallon, right? You know?
That's maybe the biggest discount of all. You're right.
More gas and time, though.
I mean, just time.
Absolutely. I've stuffed a lot of envelopes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, where can people, because I don't want to take these phone calls, where can people reach you directly? So I can put it in the paper.
I'd like to say the first way people can get to me directly is through their carriers, you know, through their letter carriers. But I'm not going to say that because, you know, business people. 423-3937 is my direct line.
423-3937.
Mm-hmm.
And what about your email?
My email is aaron.t.oya@usps.gov.
aaron.t.oya@usps.gov.
Mm-hmm.
But it's usps.com is
our website.
Okay.
Internally, that's sort of our internal communications,
right.
But yeah, that's the public.
Just wanted to make sure.
Yep.
Okay, any other topics we need to touch on?
Did I miss anything?
I think the main points, you know, we've talked about so many times with you, and Aaron and I talk all the time about it too, is about It's about just making the public aware that there is a guy out there. You know, this is
thank you.
This is your new postal service here that doesn't expect you to figure it all out for yourself.
Yeah.
There's a guy that's going to help, that can help you figure out your business solutions, that he's available for that. And then that could be something as simple as sending an email suggestion to you, getting on the phone for 20 minutes, or going down to and you're making a house call, actually going into your place of business, assessing the situation. That's why I use the word consultant. I think that's probably a pretty apt description, because you actually assess, try to understand your business, what's it all about, and what are you trying to do here, and then offer suggestions based on what he's seen elsewhere and about what based on what he knows about the Postal Service. And some of the solutions can be real simple, putting up a sign in your store, taking it from there, and some of them might be training. Let's sit down and let's train you. Let's get on a computer and I'll show you how to do this and walk you through how to do things. So he's there to provide really personalized consulting services in the realm of shipping for businesses.
It's funny that Duke mentioned consulting, because I had a business associate just the other day said, you know, Aaron, you're not a salesperson. You may think you are, but you're not. You're not here selling me anything. You're here helping me do my business. And I've had that comment more often than not. People, when I get off the phone with customers who I have helped, they're just amazed that there's somebody, and Duke said it, there's somebody like me in my position, first and foremost. But I think the thing that amazes them the most is that I work for the United States Postal Service. It's strange that they find somebody who has purely an interest in helping them increase their revenue.
Right.
You know, I have an eye on the ball. The ball is, you need to increase your revenue, and if I can help you do it, that's what marketing is. You do a cost here, and you get the big sales in the end.
Right. You know. And you can do the same thing with Neighbor Island businesses?
I just talked to a realtor in Hilo this morning, because she wants to get involved with that post mailing online. She just does not like sticking on stamps on postcards. I said, call me up, I'll walk you through it. I had a real brief phone call on it. She goes, you know, I'm going into a meeting. If I need your help, I'll give you a call. Absolutely. I do business with Neighbor Island businesses. It's not only online things that I do. I'll give you an example. I do cost analysis. I think what's unique about my position is I see so many different businesses and so many different industries. Let me talk about cost analysis. Coffee operation on the Big Island used to use one of our competitors and used to pay for shipping for their coffee products. It's, you know, free shipping. Well, we cut their cost by 50% to the tune of $60,000 a year.
Wow.
That paid for a person and then some, you know.
Yeah.
So they were really happy, you know. They were sending it through one of our competitors' overnight or two-day services, and they downgraded it because they're paying it anyway for $4.05 priority mail with delivery confirmation for free. They didn't really need coffee overnight, right? I mean, if you did,
right?
Okay, I have Lani Kalapana this time. but the consulting thing is kind of interesting. I really ask a lot of questions of my customers just so I can understand. So it's sort of rudimentary. I find out what it is they're shipping, and I try to match the best products and services for them. I'll do shipping analysis to see if we can save you money and where we can save you money. I mean, I can tell you right now, our international rates are so competitive. If you're not using the Postal Service for international shipping because you haven't researched it or not, you know, call me up. I'll do an analysis for you, and if I can't save you money, I'll let you know.
But you're not giving them discounts or anything like that. You're just saying, these are the products the Postal Service has, and this is how they'll fit your needs, and then...
As simplistic as that sounds, that's pretty much exactly what I do.
That's what I mean. You're not, well, let me go see my floor manager, see what we can do.
I do shipping analysis simply because we don't offer discounts. So to do a cost analysis against the Postal Service is really, really easy. You know, a customer send me their shipping manifest. I had one guy. I said, you know, the more you send me, the more varying weights, the more varying destinations, the more complete I can do a cost analysis for you. And you can fax it over to me. Doesn't cost him anything to fax it, right? He sent me 29 pages of one of our competitors' manifests, and, you know, I narrowed it down to a certain weight. You know, above this weight, I'll tell you, stay with our competitor. Below, in this case, it was anything 39 pounds and below, ship it with us, and we'll save you a considerable amount of money. But if you used us across the board, we would save you money across the board in this one instance. He decided, It's just easier to do business with the Postal Service because most of their items were under 40 pounds anyway.
So I think we have a lot of confidence that the Postal Service products and services are, we know that they can save money. We know that they're the right solution for most businesses out there. Most businesses out there. It's just a matter of making them aware of it. And that's why it's not really a need to kind of come up with a gimmick or discounts or push them to get something that we think we want them to have because it's going to make us money, but it's not right for them. There's no need for that because there's a solution that's right for them that's right for us too.
And my job is educating a customer.
Yeah, it's not a matter of trying to convince them of something that is. It's really just a matter of making them aware, and they will realize it on their own. It's just a matter of taking the time to do that. And so, you know,
that's what I meant. It's not like they have to hook up with Aaron because Aaron's going to give them a 30% off the top.
No. But I guess the advantage of myself, because I'm singularly focused on business. You know, I don't have to, you know, Duke and I was talking about, well, what's the difference between calling a postmaster or station manager, which is absolutely a good line of, you know, they absolutely call your postmaster. If you're a business, get to know your postmaster, get to know your station manager, if you're already there. You know, if you want to know how to get there, you can get to them, you can get to your carrier, you can call me directly, and I will help you. You know, that's what I do. I'm there to help. I'm there to assist.
That's the only job. And postmasters have other jobs, too. Mm-hmm. They are out there, too, of course. You know that from talking to Jody. But this is his only job to be there to do that. Speaking of Neighbor Islands, so one last thing, though. You guys are going to go out there to Neighbor Islands and do some classes?
Actually, we're going to do some seminars. We're going to do some direct mail seminars that we've already done one on Kauai. We're going to probably schedule one for Hilo or Maui sometime toward the end of this fiscal year. And we're going to do some on basically the Big Island in Maui. We're going to do at least two or three more before we bring it here to Oahu. And what it is a net post seminar. We're going to teach customers how to, similar to our online shipping class, but purely focused on growing customers' businesses and helping them grow their business through net post mailing online, through premium postcards, and through direct mail. There's a lot of businesses that don't know how to use direct mail. I can actually make, dare I say this, and yeah, I'll say this because I'm not going to mention any business in particular. There are a lot of businesses out there, really, that do not know how to increase their own revenue. So when my friend says I'm a consultant and I'm a teacher and I'm an educator, it's because I've seen so many varied industries and businesses that I work with. I don't mention names or especially competitive businesses. I have a lot of integrity there. But I've seen certain industries and businesses do certain things that can apply to other businesses. Mm-hmm. And I just throw it out there, and if it sticks, it sticks. And if it can help the customer, you know, because if you're a small business owner, your world is your business right here. That's pretty much your life. Not everyone has the time to go out and see what everybody else is doing and learning how to go ahead and increase your revenue. I mean, if you're a larger corporation, yeah, sure, you can do that. You got sales organizations, sales department, marketing department, do that.
But you do that in two different ways. You cut their costs, mm-hmm. and then, as we talked about, there's other ways where, through shipping or more efficient, you're increasing actual sales. Interesting.
Now, if I can get your business because I cut your costs, great. If I can get your business because I can help you increase yours, better yet. That's beautiful.
And they're not paying you for that.
And they're not paying me for that.
You know, it's
not your father's post office. Somebody asked me that one time. I said, you know, I can come out there and help you guys with this. And he asked me, well, how much is it going to cost? Nothing. Really? Yeah. You know, you're going to come out here and help me with my business? Yeah, absolutely.
Great. Okay. Thanks, Aaron.
Thanks, Dan.